1 Kings chapter 9, look in verse 1, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication." Now, ain't that wonderful? Ain't you glad that the Lord hears your prayer and your supplication when you pray? I just find that wonderful this morning. "That thou hast made before me, I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." That means forever. "And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and that for this wonderful day. We praise you for just your salvation, and Lord, just for your blessings that you've given us. And Lord, it's preaching time now, and we certainly need your help. We pray that you'd come by. Pray that you'd just guard our minds and our thoughts. I pray that you'd just ease our mind on this message this morning. Lord, we really believe that this is a message for the hour, and we want it to be a blessing to people, but we want it to instruct those that might be lost to come and get saved. And Lord, that it might help fathers to be a better father. Lord, that it would help each of us and that to be a better Christian. And Lord, we'll tell you again that we love you and we thank you. I save that sinner's nearest tale. Now touch us while we might preach. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. You'll be seated this morning. As we look in 1 Kings chapter 9, take your Bible and go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And I'm going to look at something else here. And we'll keep looking at just a few more verses. And then we'll preach 2 Chronicles 17. And look in verse 3. "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam." Now take your Bible and go over to chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and look in verse 32. 2 Chronicles 20, look in verse 32. And the Bible says, "And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord." Now go over and look in chapter 26 and look in verses 3 and 4. Chapter 26 and in verse 3 and 4. And I believe the Bible says here, talking about Uzziah. It said 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. As we look at these, just a few scriptures, and you'll find many more like this all through the Bible, you'll find that it talks about what their father done. Either how that their father in that served the Lord, or that their father in that served Baal, served Ashtaroth, served other gods. And so as I look at this message, and we go back to 1 Kings chapter 9, and I look at this, and the Lord told Solomon over there in verse 4, and he said, "If thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked." David had his struggles, and he had his problems. We understand that. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. David and that had Uriah killed. We know that he numbered Israel when he should not have numbered Israel. And we know that David struggled in his life. But he said, "If thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked." And so we find that David, he uses him, the Lord does, as an example, and that to Solomon. As a matter of fact, I believe it is in one spot over there in the book of 2 Kings, as David is fixing to die, he tells him over there, he makes Solomon and that the king, and he says, "You just need to follow me as I have followed the Lord." Let me say that that's true with a man or a woman that is following God. You can use them as your examples. I know what Paul said. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." If somebody is following God, you can look at them. I know we're not to follow man, but if they're following God, you can look at them for an example and that to have in your life. As a matter of fact, is that not what he told Timothy over there? He said, "Be an example of the believer. And he said, be an example unto the believer. And I believe that is what all of us should be. But I want to preach to fathers this morning, if I might, for just a little while, on the example that you're setting. On the example that you set before your children, on the example that you set in your home, and you should be a good example. You say, my children are grown. Hey, they may be grown, but I'll guarantee you that you're still setting an example and that before them in being faithful and in doing what you should today. Can I say quickly this morning that your children probably learn more by watching than they do listening. Amen. I wasn't a good listener, Brother Jeff. I tell you, my mom and daddy would say things and it would go in one ear and out the other, but I paid more attention to what my dad did more than what he told me a lot of times. And let me say this to young people. You need to listen. Amen. It'll keep you out of trouble if you will just listen. Amen. Just listen. Listen to mom and dad, because there's a reason they're telling you what they're telling you is because they've been where you're at and they want to keep you out of trouble. Amen. Hey, listen, my dad, I remember he told me, am I not right? Say amen right there. Help me out, church. Just wake up now. Listen, let's see if I can preach a little harder here this morning or nicer or something. But listen, I remember my dad telling me what happened. He said, I don't want you running with this feller over here. And you know why he told me that? Because he knew what kind of feller he was. He was going to get me in trouble is what was going to happen. And there's sometimes that as teenagers and as children and as kids, if you'll let me say that, we can't see that. But mom and dad knows those things. And they're just trying and that to help. But three things this morning on a father. I want to look at his example. First of all, can I say that first of all, a father, and that should make provision for his family. Can I tell you that them kids know, dads, if you want to spend time with them. They know you ought to make provision for your family. First, you ought to make provision in that, taking care of them. It's your responsibility. You're going to bring them into this world. You're going to have them. I don't believe we got that problem this morning in here. I hope not. But we've got a world full of people that does not seem to want to provide and that for their self, let alone for their family. Amen. Hey, listen, the Bible tells us over here, I believe it is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that he's talking about widows, but he said, but if any, I provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house. He had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He said, if you don't provide, you're worse than an unbeliever out there that will provide for his own. Amen. Listen, you go over the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul talks about coming to the church and he says, this is the third time I'm ready to come to you and I will not be burdensome unto you, for I seek not yours, but you. Paul said, look, I'm not coming to you for you to put me up and take care of me, but I'm just coming that I can get you. He said, I'm just wanting to help you. Can I park right here for just for a second and tell you that that's all I care about is just helping you. I want you to understand something this morning. I'm not against you, and I certainly hope you're not against me. I'm going to be honest with you. If the devil can get me against you and you against me, we're in a mess, ain't we? You know, when I'm telling you, when church gets against the preacher and the preacher against the church, I mean, it's going to be a mess just waiting to happen. But friend, what I do, what I preach, how I pray, it's all for you this morning. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. It's because I love you and I love your family and I love your children. And man, I want to see you do good. And boy, when I preach a little hard or a little mean, some of you say, hey, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I don't understand. It is because I do understand. Listen, Paul said, I seek you. I want you. But he said, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And so you're to provide for your child. You're to provide for your children. And there's a lot not doing that. But then let me say this, in the provision that is for your children, it's not to give them everything that they want. You know, one of the problems that we struggle with today, I think parents do, is they try to make everything better than what they had it. You know, we're going to have it so good, eventually, what's going to happen? I remember my mom and dad, I remember there was, I mean, they tried to make it so much better than how they had it. And I mean, they growed up poor and growed up rough. And I mean, if you could just hear some of the stories that Daddy will talk about, you know. He did go to school in the snow, uphill, both ways, you know. I mean, stuff like that, you know. I mean, it's just crazy listening to him and mom and dad. But listen, they growed up poor. And I think a lot of you in here that's got any age probably growed up poor too. But everybody else around you was poor and you just didn't know no better. Amen. Listen, but you know what? My mom and dad tried to make it so much better on us and tried to make it easier on us. And if you're sitting in here about my age or a little younger, then your mom and dad probably done the same thing. And now what are you going to do with your children? You know, you just make it better and better and better. But still, there comes a time that the child needs to learn no. They need to learn no. They need to understand that. And it's up to you to teach them no. The world, listen, out there is going to be hard enough. I understand that. But you got to train them and teach them. They don't need everything. Hey, in 1 Kings chapter 1, as David is, listen, David is, got a son right here. And it says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Said David never said no to him. David never put a stop to anything that he done. You know, the Bible tells us over there, I believe it is, in the book of Proverbs, that a child left to himself, I shall bring his mother to shame. You leave a child and just let it do. Some of y'all have raised children. Y'all know how they are. You know how they act and react. Listen, you have to guide them and you have to correct them. I'm getting way ahead of myself. And you have to give instruction and discipline and all those things. Why? Because the Bible said in the book of Proverbs that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. No matter how godly that you believe or perceive that they are still a child. And friend, I'm telling you, they need your instruction and they need your guidance. And they're not only get that from what you're telling them, but they're going to get that from the instruction and from the example that you leave. You know how I learned how to go to work? My daddy very few times ever told me, son, you need to go to work. You know how I learned how to go to work? I watched him morning in and morning out get up at 5 o'clock and 5:30 and get up and go to work. Mama used to get us kids up, but me and my sister, before he'd go to work, and the sun wasn't even up, and he'd be leaving to go to work, and we'd tell him bye and kiss him on his cheek. I remember doing that when I was a kid, and listening to him going to work every day. I never can remember a day that he just called in just because he wanted to. I can never remember a day that he just called in because he wanted to go fishing or because he wanted to lay out or he wanted to lay around at the house. I never remember that. I've never seen that in my whole life. I mean, listen, he had a work ethic. You know how you're going to teach your kids a work ethic and how to provide and all those things? They're going to see you do that. Am I not right this morning? They learn by example, friend. So there's a provision that must be made in that physically for that child. You take care of your children. You provide for them. You go to work. You see that they get what they need. Not what they want all the time, but what they need. Book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 said, for I have told him. Now here God is talking to Samuel, and he's talking about Eli. And he said, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. God said, look, Eli had the opportunity to restrain his sons, and he did not do it. There is an opportunity that you have with your children. Listen, to restrain them. And I believe that he's talking about right here in Eli's life. Listen, Eli had some age on him. His sons were the priests. They were men of Baal, the Bible tells us. They were wicked men serving in the tabernacle. And he said Eli didn't restrain them. He had the opportunity. I'm going to tell you, even after your children get older, if they're wrong, you need to tell them so. You say, well, they won't come around. You just going to let it go? You just going to let that thing go if they're wrong? If you know they're wrong? If you know they're living? I'm not saying being mean to them. I'm not saying, don't come around. I'm just saying, look, they need to know. They need to hear it sometimes, and they need to hear it from you. They're going to hear it enough from the preacher when he preaches, and they're going to hear about their sin if they're doing wrong. But listen, you need to say, hey, not only are you doing wrong, but here's how you can fix that thing. That may be a hard conversation and a hard thing to do. One of the hardest things I ever had to do one time was just a friend that I've had for years. I mean, for years. I run with him for a long, long time. And man, he got so far away from the Lord. And I mean so far away from the Lord. And we just had to have that conversation about the situation that he was in. And you know what? The Lord got him in my truck. I mean, he pulls up in my driveway. And I don't remember why he was at my house. We had kind of become estranged from each other, but he showed up. And as soon as he got to the top of the hill there at my house, I mean, the serpentine broke on his truck right there in my driveway. And he said, hey, can you haul me over here in town? I said, yeah, I'll take you over to where you need to go. That ain't no problem. And man, the more we got, the longer I sat in that truck, and the longer I prayed, it's just like the Lord just bothered me and bothered me and bothered me. He said, you're going to have to say something. You're going to have to talk to him about how he's living, because this, you know, sometimes you're just going to have to talk to your children about how they're living. You do it out of love. You do it out of concern, and you do it because you want to see them do right. But you still need to talk to them about it. Ain't it good this morning? Amen. It's all good. Am I not telling the truth? Amen. All right. All right, there's got to be a provision made. I don't know how we got off all that. But listen, there's got to be a provision made, and that physically, but then there needs to be a provision made, and that spiritually. Somebody's got to provide for the spiritual welfare of your children. Now, as I've said many, many times standing behind this pulpit, I've got them for maybe, if I preach long, I'll have them for 50 minutes. The Sunday school teacher's got them for just a little while, but you've got them all their life. Now, I guess we can combine mom and dad together right here, but I'm preaching to dad. But it is dad's responsibility and the head of that house to make sure that that child is not only provided for physically, but provided for spiritually. Whether mom is making the provision to get it done, dad's making sure that it gets done. Amen. Seems a little out of pocket there a little bit sometimes, but let me say this. Let me talk to you dads for just a second. Let me put them back on where I can see. Your children ought to see you read your Bible. They ought to see you read your Bible. Or at least they ought to know that you read your Bible. And what I mean is that you may get up and read before they get out of bed, but they ought to at least know that that Bible's been moved. That Bible's been read. They ought to know that you have a prayer time. Right? Amen. They ought to see that, because I'm going to be honest with you, that you can tell them to pray and you can tell them to read their Bible and expect them to do it, but when they see you do it, it'll make a whole world of difference in them. So he makes a provision. I'm going to get some more on that here in a minute. There's a provision made by shelters. His children. The Lord told Jerusalem over there in Luke chapter 13, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen and gathered her brood under her wings, and you would not. There was a shelter there. You know what the word shelter means? It means to give a place of covering or protection or security. Now I would dare say that every dad, every father in here will protect their children from anybody wanting to physically harm them. I mean, you'd fight a circle saw and just go to town and wire somebody out if they tried to hurt your child. And you wouldn't be wrong in doing so either. Amen. I believe that you ought to protect your children physically. Yeah, I remember one time years ago, my grandmother's husband, he worked in New Orleans. He was a welder and an electrician for the union. And they sent him down there to build a to help build on the nuclear plant down there around New Orleans. And I remember going down there, and I was probably 5 or 6 at that time. That means you ever think I'd been that young before, would you? Amen. I just a little bitty feller at that time. And I remember when they took us through New Orleans and we walked the streets down there, they said, "Now, you stay with us because they may try to get you." Now, at 5 years old, thinking somebody's going to try to get you, I don't know if they told me that just to keep me from wandering off, but you can bet I stayed where I needed to stay because I was always afraid somebody might get me. But you know the shame of it is today, that was 40 years ago. 40 years ago. And you know what? Somebody might try to get your child today. I mean, it's a shame. I don't know how to make that any more real than just saying that it is real and somebody might try to get your child. And I think that a father will provide and that for the shelter and protect his child and that from somebody trying to get them. But then, friend, what about the devil trying to get your children? You'll do whatever you can to protect them from somebody physically getting them. But what about the devil trying to get your child? You realize he is trying to get your child, don't you? Listen, he's after your family. I mean, he's after you. He's after mama. He's after all your children. He is trying to get them. And it is your responsibility and that to protect them and keep them out of the world. Proverbs chapter 1, you read over that. Probably for about the first 7 or 8 chapters in the book of Proverbs, Solomon is warning his children about the world. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, he said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." He said, don't go with them. Don't go where they go. Don't do what they do. Listen, because, and he tells them of everything that's going to happen. You need to warn them of the way of the world, the wickedness of the world. You need to warn them of the wonderment. You know, ain't there a draw to the world? Especially when you're a kid. Everything's flashy. Right? Everything, you just got so much to go do. All the fun in the world to go. You know that pastoring in this generation, that is one thing that I have to fight with people. That's a bad way of looking at it. But one of the things that we have to do, especially as a church, is to compete with the world. I like the thought of blue laws myself personally. What's a blue law? Man, nothing's open until Sunday morning after church. Some of y'all be in trouble on the way to church. No gas station open, I'm telling you. Listen, we compete so much. And your children get bombarded with so much. They see so much out in the world and it's put on them. And that's one thing you got to shelter your children from is that world out there. I mean, if your child goes to public school, they're going to pick up so much. You put them together and that's just... Listen, I learned a lot of things in school and on the school bus. And I am so glad that I had godly parents that still made us go to church where I know that stuff that I was learning wasn't right. Amen. I was learning it wasn't right. You need to warn them of some things. You need to warn your children. They may not believe you, but you warn them. I got a lot of stuff in my head about things. Man, growing up as a teenager, especially, moms and dads just don't know nothing. Ain't that right? Moms and dads just don't know nothing. Ain't that right, Madison? She won't say, will she? She's scared to say. Listen, you need to listen to them because they're going to try to keep you out of trouble. The world ain't got nothing out there that you need. I mean, it just ain't got a thing. Listen, you get to looking at the world. Let me park right here and just talk to all of us for just a second. Even though we're Christians and saved, I hope that you're saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Jesus loves you and died for you and will save you if you'll come to Him today. But if we're not careful, we'll even let the world begin to affect us and draw on us. and get us away from God. Hey, I'm going to tell you, these older folk getting away from God all the time. And listen, the wonderment of the world and the way of the world has drawn them away. And you need to tell them, Dad, you need to make sure. And I guess I'm preaching to Mom and Dad both today, by the way. It'll be all right. You need to tell them about the storms that's in the world. You need to tell them about the sadness that the world brings. You know why our nation is in the shape that it's in right now? It's a very simple reason why it's in the shape that it's in. They forsook the Lord. The bottom line is they don't know Jesus. I mean, because you introduce them to Jesus and that'll fix a lot of problems. I mean, you give them the peace. Listen, He is the peace giver. He is the one that can supply peace. He's the one that can sustain peace. Listen, and when they get Him on the inside, it changes everything. And that's the reason our world is in the shape that's in. That's why I encourage you to give your children Jesus when they're young. Teach them about the Lord at your home. Teach them about what He done for them. Teach them, and you've heard me say this many times, but teach them that there's going to come a day that there's going to be a voice. Listen, that they don't see anybody. They can't reach out and touch anybody, but there's going to be a voice and that speak to them and knock on their heart and wants them to move and come and get saved. And teach them when Jesus speaks to their heart that they just need to move. They just need to move. There's sadness out there in the world. And listen, there is so many believers, let me say it that way, so many believers that are wrapped up in the world and they're wrapping their children up in it too. I have no desire to mess with that world. I have no desire to fool with it. I'm not putting roots down here. Listen, I'm just like Abraham. I'm sojourning through this place and I ain't wanting to listen. I'm living here because He's left me here and I'll live here till He comes and gets me one way or another. Need to be separated out of the world. I want you to think for just a second with me, moms and dads, especially dads. It's going to be bad enough, quick enough for your children. Why not keep them separated out of that stuff as long as you possibly can? Because I'm going to tell you, before you turn around, man, they've become teenagers, and before you turn around, they've already got a wife or a husband, and you've done got some age on you, and the next thing you know, you're my mom and papa before you turn around, just like that. I tell my wife, we were talking about it the other day, I have been here preaching in this same spot for a little over 18 years. And some days it feels like I just come down here. Now, think about it for just a second. Some of y'all, think about having your young'uns. It's done growed. And it just seems like, for some of you, it's just like yesterday that you had them. It just seemed like yesterday that you was holding them in your arms. And I mean, and time has done got by. They're 10 years old, they're 15 years old, they're 20 years old. And time flies by. What I'm trying to tell you is they're going to have to deal with this world quick enough. I always ask, when I find out somebody homeschools their children, I always ask, why do you homeschool your children? And I was preaching a funeral one time and I was talking to the undertaker and we were talking about, I don't know how we got there, but we got there and he said he's got six kids and he homeschools his children. And so I always ask, why do you homeschool your children? And he said, you know, the reason, he said, the biggest part of it all is, he said, just so that my kids can be kids as long as they can be kids. Can I tell you that I thought that was a great answer? Just let your kids be kids as long as they can be kids. Because you know what? They're going to have to grow up fast enough. And just let your children be children. I don't know how we got off on all this, but it's good. Amen. Separate them out of the world. Protect them out of the world. Provide for them. But then I think, number three, you need to show your love to them. The Lord Jesus Christ, He showed His love to us, did He not? Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Can I talk to you dads for just a second? I'm going to go back and talk about something I said a few minutes ago. I think your children need to see you read your Bible. They need to see you pray. They need to see you be faithful to church. They need to see you love the people of God. They don't need to hear you talk about people. Certainly don't need to hear you talk about the preacher. Amen. Don't have me for lunch unless I'm there. I take chicken. And, you know, they need to see that stuff. They need to see you get up on Sunday mornings and not talk to mom about whether or not we're going to church. We're just going, you know. And when they say, well, do we got to go to church, Daddy? You say, well, of course we got to go to church. Don't you want to go to church? Because I guarantee you there's going to be some going to get up on Sunday mornings when they've stayed up too late on Saturday night. That wouldn't be you, would it? And come dragging in, eyes barely open. At least you made it. Amen. Some people didn't make it this morning because they stayed up too late last night. But I'm talking about his love for the things of God, for the Word of God, how he loves the Bible. And he said, that stuff's just not in me. Well, it should be. It should be. You learn to fall in love with this book right here. And I'm going to tell you, you fall in love with the God of this book and this book right here, and you'll fall in love with the rest of God's stuff too. You'll fall in love with his book, with his house. You'll fall in love with his people. How do you know that we pass from death into life? Because we love the brethren. One of the ways I know that I'm saved is I just love God's people. Just love God's people. That's how I know I'm saved. Amen. Love God's people. Because I'm going to tell you, some of them's hard to love sometimes. You know what your children ought to see, Dad? Are you talking about love? Not only love the things of God and the people of God and the house of God and the ways of God and you just want to please God. And by the way, your children will pick up on that if all you want to do is please God. They'll pick up on that. They'll figure it out. They'll catch it. But listen, they'll see how that you love their mother. They will. They'll catch on to that. They'll catch on how you talk to mama, or about how you talk about mama maybe when you're out and they're with you and you might be talking to somebody else and them little ears is over here somewhere that you don't think they are, but they're listening. I don't care how aggravated I get at my wife. I never would get aggravated at her. Y'all believe that? I can tell you she gets aggravated with me. She's probably aggravated with me right now. Talking about being aggravated at her. But you know, it does not matter how aggravated I get. I'm not going to go out there and run her down. I ain't doing it. I will not do it. You know what? As the church, we're the bride of Christ. You think the Lord runs us down? You think the Lord Jesus Christ would ever run his church down? You know, he compares us. I mean, he said, husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You think he's going to run? I ain't done it. Mm-mm. Don't care how aggravated I might be. I ain't been aggravated in a long time. You love your children no matter what. Love them unconditionally. Jesus loves us unconditionally. Ain't you glad he loves us unconditionally? You say, well, that's a given that we'd love our children unconditionally. The Bible talks about over there, I believe it is, at one point, where's it at, where he talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that they're without natural affection. Without natural affection. When they do wrong, you love them. When they're aggravating, you love them. Your children, are they perfect? Moms and dads look at me, are your children perfect? Old Zeke, he's just a born a hoe in Jeff down here, man. You can look at him. He's just born a hoe in him. Well, we all know they're not perfect. You may think they are, but we know they're not. But listen, you love them. You love on them. You love them when you got to correct them. You love them when you got to discipline them. And that's why you discipline them, ain't it? That's why you correct them, is because you love them. We come back to that scripture again. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Can I say, dads, that you need to love on your children, but you need to control and instruct your children. You need to make sure there's discipline in the home. need to shelter them. You need to provide for them. You need to keep them out of the world. You need to... It just goes on and on and on and on, don't it? And you know, the one thing that I never got, I think, growing up, was no doubt there were some sacrifices that my mom and dad made for me and my sister growing up. Whether it was a sacrifice of time to take us somewhere to do something that we wanted to do, or whether it was a sacrifice of money to get us something that they wanted us to have, whether we deserved it or not, there was a sacrifice there. And they, some of you have sacrificed for your children. And so I want you to look at me, kids, for just a second. I know I say kids, I mean older ones all the way down. There's been times that your mom and dad have sacrificed for you, and you're to tell them thank you because of what they've done. I didn't catch that till I got older. And some of you didn't catch that until you started having kids of your own and you started sacrificing some things for them. Maybe something you wanted to do versus what they wanted to do. And so you just sacrificed. I think this morning, and I know not everybody has the same upbringing that I had. I understand that. I realize that. I know that. And let me park and say something about that real quick. If you go over and you look at the story about Josiah, King Josiah over there, you'll find that his father was not any good. He worshipped idols, and he didn't serve God. But Josiah became king when he was 8 years old, and he was seeking God. Now something happened right there. Now listen, it don't matter what the example that you had. You can serve God whether your dad served God or not. You can serve God. You can serve Him whether your parents served God or not. You can serve Him. Now I had the example. I had a good example and still have. Still got Him. I was eating the other day with a friend of mine, and I didn't think about this till I was studying the other night. And we were just sitting there eating, and he got to talking about his dad, and he looked at me, and he said, "Boy, I miss him." He said, "I miss my dad." And you better enjoy him while you got him, because we're all going to turn around one day if you still got him now, and they're going to be gone. Can I tell you, if your dad's lost today, why don't you be praying for him? Say, "I am, preacher." That's good. You keep praying for him. You witness to him and you tell him. If you've got a good godly dad, you thank God for the example that you had. And dad, you be the example that you need to be. I've been awful scattered today, but I hope that it helped you. Let's get us by our heads today, if we would. Give us just a little music, Jake. Being an example. Example means to be a picture of something. Example means to be a type of something. So let me ask you, dads, if your children done what you done, would it be right in serving the Lord? Would they learn how to read their Bible from watching you and praying from watching you? Or would they learn things they shouldn't learn from watching? God's gave them to you to raise. And I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, every mom and dad's going to give an account of how they raised their children. God's gave you a book in front of you to you. All I wanted to do today, men, was just encourage you. Just to be a good example in front of each other. Just to love on them, take care of them, because they see that. They see the love that you give them. They know. What are they learning from you? So I'm just praying you want.